The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Soccer Matters.
Quick shot, score! The U.S. with Dempsey!
Fabregas, who looks for Iniesta, who's onside! Spain score!
Entonces el centro, remate de gol! Gol de oro! Gol de oro! Gol de Uribe!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. As always, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. 713-CALL-NOW. Personal injury attorneys, there are none better. You can get more information at DaspitLaw.com. They are bilingual. Again, it's 713-CALL-NOW for those that need a personal injury attorney. The Daspit Law Firm is going to fight for your right for compensation. You want the best. Daspit Law Firm, passionately pursuing justice for the injured. Our next guest, Felipe Senderos, had a brief spell here in Houston, but is most noted for a time period where he played for Arsenal from 2003 to 2010. He had 116 appearances there, 57 caps for Switzerland, played in World Cups, was recently the sporting director at Servette after ending his playing career. Here's my interview with Felipe Senderos. Felipe, thanks. Great to catch up with you again.
Hi, Glenn. Nice seeing you. Nice to catch up.
I'll tell you what, you've been a busy man. I've seen a lot of the things you've been doing post-playing career, and it's been really interesting to watch how serious you're taking football management and all the other things. You went back to your former club where you grew up as a youth, Servette, and you have been working as their sporting director in recent times. Just tell me a little bit about that move and why you made it. Obviously, it was your club growing up deep in your heart.
Yeah, though. So I had the opportunity to come back to my hometown club and contribute. I think that was really my goal, to come back and put a process in that will help the club in the long term and have a more of a sustainable approach, even though it's always difficult, even in Swiss football, to be sustainable, but to have at least an approach that, you know, we put processes in play that that will remain even after people are gone. So that was something, a way for me to give back to my former club, and it was a great opportunity to step into management.
Now, I know you had a lot of focus on player development, setting up a structure that could feed the first team. Maybe you can take us into that a little bit.
Yeah, so we have a very strong academy here in Geneva. I think the pool of players is there. We just had to create and facilitate a player pathway from the academy to the first team. And we managed to do that. We had some very good results in the youth, under 16, under 18, winning titles, cups over the last 3 years. And the last stage that really was missing was the under 21 level, which is our second team. They were playing at a very low level. So we had to bring that team up to bridge the gap between the 18, elite 18, and the first team, to be able to bring those players through. And we managed to do that with two promotions. The first team has been fed by multiple young players from the academy. The thing is, in Geneva, all the players from our academy are from Geneva. They're not from another city in Switzerland or anywhere else. So that's a particularity. Imagine creating a team with only Houstonians. Even though Houston is very large and big, Geneva is not that big, but it's a particularity. And we created a real culture. We continued that of people from Geneva who want to make it to the first team. And I think we managed some parts at least.
Philippe Senderos, you remember him from his time here in Houston. You remember him for his time at Arsenal, now doing it post-playing career on the management side. You know, you struck on something very important there. How important is it for a club like Servette to use local resources, to bring back a former player, to make sure there's that connection that goes directly to youth soccer fields in the city?
It's hugely important. I think people need to relate to what's happening on the field. And when they see people from Geneva, people from their neighborhoods who are making it to the first team, they can relate to that. And especially if you know football is a vehicle of fantastic values. And we want to create this type of environment here in Geneva that people can relate to the same values that we have in our community on the fields. And, you know, this is something very important that was not from me, but obviously from our president and board that really wanted to do that. And we managed to create some kind of atmosphere that generates this success. And, you know, success is not only on the field, but it's also in the community. We've seen an increase in the people that came to the stadium, and that was really a good success.
You know, it's remarkable to see football players go back to the clubs that and like yourself here, you know, trying to repay the opportunity that you had once had as a youngster and the help that people had given you growing up as a footballer. I never forget the time you came in studio here in Houston and you told the story of how you lived in an apartment and you could see the field. And that was a visual daily kind of goal for you to get on that field one day playing for that team. Speak to those kind of influences. You know, we hear about player development and all the things that actually happen on the field, but there are other ways of influencing and making a young footballer dream, right?
Yeah, of course, there's different ways, but yeah, you need a spark. You need something that will create that fire in your belly that will want to get you up in the morning, go to training, and continue to progress. I think as a human being, you need to be curious and you need to want to do better every single day and better yourself. Obviously, you need that kind of environment to do that. And that's very, very important for us that we create that type of environment, that security that allows the player to develop and create a dream. I think you need that in the first team needs to do well. This is the locomotive of the club. And if the first team does well, the rest of the club will hopefully follow.
Philippe Senderos, 2003 to 2010, was at Arsenal, 116 appearances there. 57 caps for Switzerland. He came and played in Major League Soccer here in Houston. Remarkable career. All of a sudden now you're a sporting director at Servette in 2020. You're dealing with boards of directors. You're dealing with player contracts. You have COVID. This is a different kind of pressure, and it's not one where you can go out on a field and make a difference. How did you adjust to that? Because, you know, that's all of a sudden a very big change.
Definitely. That was very challenging for all of us. It was an unexpected situation that we had to deal with. I'm comfortable being uncomfortable. So that was really the most uncomfortable time for
everyone. Wait a second. You're comfortable being uncomfortable. Explain that to me, because I think there's something unique here.
It's not unique. I think I want to better myself and I don't like to be in a comfortable seat that is everything is easy. I need to be challenged, and that time during COVID was definitely a very challenging time for everyone. Things were blowing out of proportion, and we had to deal with this as a football club. The first and most important was the security, the health of the player, of our academy and our first team. So we had to protect that and their families. And then the rest was trying to maintain a kind of a normality and continue playing football. We had tough times. We had to deal with that. We managed to do very, very good in that time, making sure that our players were safe and their families too. And also investing some money into improving our training ground, the facilities for our youth players. And that was an important step in the development.
dealing with player contracts and the player side of it, I read in an article you said you have to kind of separate yourself from the players in a way. Speak to me about that a little bit, because, you know, you've spent a majority of your life in locker rooms with teammates, with football relationships. Maybe explain how that becomes a little bit different, maybe, and a little more isolated.
Well, I think when you're on the field and you're the one playing, you have a different perspective. Once you move into management, into the board, into a sporting director, you have a completely different perspective. I think the player, what I believed was the player was at the center of everything, and we needed to make the player happy. And in that process is to make sure that we are honest and clear with the objectives, the goals that we want to focus on for the seasons coming. And then playing with taking that distance and not be too friendly, because things need to be said when you're in a management position and you need to make some decisions. I obviously knew some of the players. I played with some of the players when I first joined, and I needed to take that separation, that distance that allowed me to make the right decision. As a sporting director, you look at it more of a mid-longer term approach, looking at the clubs and the development of the club. As a coach, you look at it as a week in, week out. You know, every single week you need to win the next game. The sporting director needs to be there to support it, but needs to take a longer term approach. So in that regard, you know, it was important to have as most information as possible to make the right decisions.
Philippe Senderos joining us, former Arsenal, Switzerland, now getting into sporting director at Servette for a number of years now. FIFA club management courses, I've seen photos of you and you've been presenting and you've really been educating yourself on this. I mean, I'm really impressed how you just are going after all these other things. You're trying to educate yourself. I see pictures of you with other players like Cannavaro and Tim Cahill and others. Speak to me about this FIFA club management course that you've been involved in and what you're doing with that and where maybe this will take you in the future potentially.
Well, I can't just rest and believe that my career as a player was enough and my experience is enough. I need to further my education, and this is the opportunities that I have in front of me. At different stages, there might not have been as many, but now there are. And I need to continue bettering myself, making sure I get as much grades and much education as possible to be the best that I can be. This FIFA management diploma in club management, I did the first edition. So as soon as I heard of it, I applied, and I was able to get my diploma. I produced a final project. And in the second edition, they invited me to be a speaker and to present that project. You know, it's a very, very interesting part of the job, one that I need to continue because I need to be as best as I can, but also create an important network with other executives. And that's important in the development.
Philippe, what does the future hold for you? Do you want to get back into the management side again? I mean, obviously, you're continuing to study it and work on your craft. Is that what you want to do?
Yeah, I want to continue in football. That's for sure. I don't really know which position at the moment. I'm fresh off working into football, into my hometown club. When you're in the job, it's like a washing machine, and you're really inside and you're turning. So now I'm out of it, and I'm trying to take a little bit of distance to analyze what has been the right things that I've done and the worst, the not as good things that I probably did and the mistakes, and trying to fix that and hopefully, you know, get some energy again and get back into another position. I'm not too sure yet which one, but, you know, options are there. It's just the time to choose the right one.
So I was very curious to ask you about your thoughts on the exciting season Arsenal's had. I know it's getting very nervy here at the end here with the loss to City, but maybe just speak about kind of the rebirth of Arsenal and what it means to you as a former star player for that club.
It's been incredible to see. You know, if you think of it, 3 years ago, it was a difficult situation. They stuck at it. They believed in what they were doing. There's been a lot of work done over the last couple of seasons. And this year, it's been fantastic to see how the team really started to believe and continue to believe and led from the front in the league. Now, unfortunately, they've lost the top, but they will play Champions League next year. I think it's a fantastic season for Arsenal, and they still have 5-6 games to go, which are going to be like finals and an incredible moment for Arsenal Football Club after many, many years where it was tough to see the real Arsenal of what it was.
Mikel Arteta and his staff and all the people behind the scenes, I mean, it really is a remarkable turnaround, don't you think? In fact, in the way he's built this culture, a winning culture, I mean, the club's always had talented footballers, but it just seems to me there's a backbone, there's a culture there, there's a commitment amongst everybody in a bigger way, maybe.
Yeah, I think so. I think you can see it also in the documentary, which they did, which was fantastic. And it showed really the day-to-day thing of how they go about and how Mikel Arteta communicates and transmits to his players that belief. But I think it's more of a club thing where the whole club was there to support him as well. Obviously, the players are the main part. Mikel Arteta is the exposed part of that where he has to make the right calls and right decisions. But the club has been behind and structured and stable and has been able to give that support to the manager. And it's great to see the belief around the place, the way the fans are loving the way the team is playing. It's fantastic to see.
Philippe Senderos joining us here on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. Philippe, is the game getting too commercial now? Or do you worry a little bit about the sanctity of football now because of how overly commercial it just seems to get by the day?
Look, I'm a romantic, so I believe the game is always going to be something that will prevail, you know, and you have to believe in that. When you move to a more of a management position, you see the other side where it has to go hand in hand. In some leagues, there is less support in TV rights and broadcasting. So you have to create revenue for the club to be able to be competitive on the field. Sometimes the field, it creates itself the revenue where you're able to sell players, and that's part of it. But I'm still a romantic in the way the game should be played. And if you do the things the right way, I believe success will come.
When you go back and reflect on your experience here in the U.S. in a league that is a centralized league, doesn't have promotion and relegation, is it interesting to compare what goes on in the U.S. and the way the U.S. runs Major League Soccer and the way the game is played, for instance, in Switzerland at the top tier?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, promotion and relegation plays a big part into our football here in Europe. I think the MLS has this, that you're stable for the next year. You need to continue improving, but you have the stability that, you know, you're not going to go to second division next year. So that creates a certain platform for clubs to develop other parts of their football club and focus on different things than the scare of promotion or relegation. I think this is a different model. Having that close league. But, you know, if I speak about my personal experience in the MLS, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I thought I thought the games are exciting. I thought the league is exciting. I thought, you know, it's getting better every day. Even though I left a few years back, I think the league is even much better today, more even. And, you know, it's an exciting time for American football.
And I just want my listeners to understand one very generous thing Philippe did. At the time when he was in Houston, I was covering the World Cup, and Philippe was nice enough to allow me to sit down with him one day and talk about the Swiss national team, which I had a number of their games to call. Philippe, thank you so much for coming on. You know, we would love to have you come back to Major League Soccer one day. So, you know, don't count that out, coming back to the United States. It's wonderful catching up with you. Can we do it again down the road here and see where you are career-wise?
For sure. For sure. Excellent. And nice seeing you, Glenn, and thank you very much for having me.
Such a great guy, Philippe Senderos. Really appreciate that interview with him. And you really do have to love the players that after their careers, they want more. They want to remain involved in the game. And this last hour is going to be committed to those types of guys, with interviews with Senderos and Josh Gardner coming up here on MLS Next. So a big thank you to Philippe. We appreciate very much him doing that interview. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. MLS Next, U13 programs to U19. It is Player Development Talk with Josh Gardner.
Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Hey, a quick word here for LamontBrands.com. All right, Jerry and Mel Lamont, great friends of mine. They're veterans. They've got an incredible printing company. They do all our Soccer Matters t-shirts and hats. If you go to LamontBrands.com, you can click, you can purchase a t-shirt, Soccer Matters, variety of colors, including orange for Houston Dynamo fans, and the trucker hats there that have just come out. And all the proceeds go back to the Snowdrop Foundation, a 501c charity. So it's a t-shirt and a hat with meaning. Speaking of meaning, our next guest is a former Houston area soccer player, went on to play at the University of Cincinnati, ultimately left college early for a professional career, winning two MLS Cups, played with the LA Galaxy, Columbus, amongst a number of other teams. But the real point here is that this is a Houston area player, grew up on parks like Bear Creek and Meyer, that has come back now to be involved in player development in Houston with Kingdom and the Houston Rangers, who just were selected for the new MLS, the ongoing MLS Next competition. He is Josh Gardner. He joins us now. Josh, thank you very much for coming on the show.
No, thanks for having me, Glenn.
All right, just for my listeners, explain to them what MLS Next is and then where your involvement in it comes in.
Yeah, so MLS started this this league a while back, just to allow all their youth academies to be playing against each other. And since the league's developed and grown, we've added a lot more clubs around the nation who have good programs, boys programs. Obviously some girls are joining those teams as well, going on to sign, you know, professional contracts and stuff. But it allows our youth and our area to play against the top players in the nation who are projected to go professionally with their current MLS club. So we're honored and excited for the opportunity to bring MLS Next to the Katy area, which is where I spent most of my days playing. And there's just a hotbed of players out here that we want to really work with and develop and give them the opportunities that we had growing up in the Houston area.
All right, this is under 19 down to under 13. There's also two other teams. Obviously, the Houston Dynamo are in MLS Next. And is it TFC, Total Football Club?
Yeah, so TFC, I think, just merged with GFI, which is new global football innovation, which I think is great. They're moving up to the spring. They've got a beautiful facility. They called me and when they found out we were announced, and they said, listen, anything you guys need, let us know. And you know, we want to work together to, you know, honestly just build the league. I think, you know, in big markets like Houston and Dallas, obviously see in Los Angeles, the amount of MLS Next clubs in those areas, we have very strong players in Houston that need to have access to the highest league. And, that's what we're doing here with the Houston Rangers.
Josh Gardner, former Houston area player, running the club Houston Rangers in MLS Next. I mean, this is a big accomplishment to get selected. How big of an undertaking is this for you?
You know, I think a lot of people don't realize they're like, how did you get it so fast and all this stuff? And what I don't think they understand that the group that is coming into Houston actually runs seven different MLS Next clubs, seven or eight different MLS Next clubs. So they were invited to bring a club into Houston, which would be their ninth. And then they also have one in Dallas that just was announced too, the Dallas Hornets, I believe. So they're running, they also run RGV, RSL Arizona. So they have different MLS Next clubs. So I think when people ask me, since I'm from Houston, well, how did you get MLS Next so fast? I tell them this is a long storied, you know, successful endeavor that this group has done in MLS. So MLS trusts them with, you know, the product that they're going to put bring out. But it also goes back to me completing my French license when I was at Sporting KC through MLS, and having that knowledge of the game and how we develop players in the academies at Sporting. And then obviously when I came here and worked with players, you know, locally, they knew that I was the man for the job, and really excited about the staff we're putting together. And, you know, the amount of attention and interest that we've had in a quick amount of time. We've got a meeting tonight at 7, and I'm pretty sure we've already, you know, maxed out the room, so we might have to make a second meeting after that. So it's been a very good and exciting time here in Houston.
He's Josh Gardner. Houston Rangers have been added to MLS Next. According to an MLS article on MLSsoccer.com, 90% of the current youth national team player pools, 90% for the U.S. and Canada come out of the MLS Next. Now, look, you've been very committed to player development. You grew up on these fields. I first want to take you into the pride of having played in this city. Now, full circle after, you know, college in Cincinnati, coming back here after a long career in Major League Soccer, winning MLS Cups, winning a USL Championship. But the additional maybe unique pride that you have being a former player from here, you know, to go on with the list of a whole bunch of guys, you know, from this area, Rusty Pierce, Chris Bondi, the Baba brothers, Alex
Quill.
Woods, a whole bunch of guys that played, and I'm omitting a bunch of them. But how about that local Houston pride that you bring to this?
I think that's the most exciting part is growing up on these fields and seeing these guys and the culture that we had back in the, you know, mid-90s, early 2000s was just it was just a different culture, a different vibe, a different feeling. And I think what we're seeing now is all those guys are still committed to the Houston area. Now their kids are playing soccer and they're growing up. So now we feel that it's our job as, you know, native Houstonians to bring that culture back so that we can start developing players and giving them the opportunities. Now, is everybody going to turn professional? No. However, can we get them into very good Division I schools, NAIA schools, Division II, Division III? Absolutely. And I think you're seeing, you know, the Bondies of this world. They're coaching at very good universities at UConn. You know, you've got Chad Riley, who's at Notre Dame. So like these guys who grew up in the Houston area are still impacted in the game. And I think that's because of how we grew up. So for me to give that opportunity to the players here in Houston, and hopefully we just want to grow the game, right? We want Houston soccer to be a mecca of, you know, quality players. And when people come here to play, they're like, man, it's tough to play in Houston. And that's really our vision.
So your commitment to player development, I do know it's a big one, and you've worked with every age level on down to the little itty bittiest of players, really, really young kids. How are you going to keep this personal now? Because I know that's part of your mantra as this grows bigger and keep your club in unique in your ideology and the way you see player development.
You know, so my club, we started back in, I would say, August of last year. And I think we have over 120 people registered for tryouts coming out next week, which is super exciting. And I think the biggest part of how we work and develop the players is first, every kid has a name. They're not just a number. They're not just a monetary value. They have a value within themselves of how they play, right? Every kid has a personality, and we want to nurture that and steer them in the right direction. We have kids who have come from difficult soccer experiences as youth. And so we've created a safe environment for them to explore and to have freedom to make mistakes, to learn from those mistakes. We never get on to kids because obviously they're kids and they're learning, but we want to be able to teach them the ways of the game in a safe environment. And so for us to keep that small culture, what I've really focused on is how we create a family oriented feeling. We can't grow too fast. We're going to be more selective at some point, Glenn, which is the hard part, because it's hard for me to turn a kid away, especially when I know the abilities I have to help them develop as a player. And the Houston Rangers have been very supportive and saying, listen, we want you to continue working with Kingdom Football Academy. I know that's your priority. However, Houston Rangers is such a great opportunity for our kids to develop through our youth system and have the opportunity and ability to move into an MLS Next program, where now they're being challenged against the top players in the nation.
All right, that's part one with Josh Gardner. And as always, a big thank you to our presenting sponsors, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. It's DaspitLaw.com. Find out about this personal injury attorney firm, because they are the best. If you need to fight for your right for compensation, you need the Daspit Law Firm on your side. John and his firm, they're personal injury attorneys. They'll handle your case. Uncomfortable times means you need a personal injury attorney. John and his firm, you contact them, DaspitLaw.com or 713-CALL-NOW. They are bilingual. 713-CALL-NOW, bilingual. You get in a car, boat, motorcycle. Maybe you work in a refinery. Maybe you drive an 18-wheeler. You need the Daspit Law Firm, passionately pursuing justice for the injured. Stay with us here on ESPN 97.5. When we come back, it's more with Josh Gardner.
Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. By the way, follow our podcast on Spotify, on Apple, Google Play. Sign up and you will get all this great podcast information about the great game of soccer. And you can listen at your leisure. All right, here's part two with Josh Gardner. You know, as I look around the youth community, I see these big, bold claims and marketing moves by teams. And, you know, we're changing the environment and, you know, all these things. Do we have to be careful with that? Because sometimes I see over-marketing here. I see advantage maybe being taken of parents, pathway to the pros. I like the fact that you mentioned not everybody's going to be a pro, and you have to keep the reality of the situation in check. So how important is communication with parents? Nothing can ever be perfect, right? Because parents have different ambitions when they're bringing kids to clubs. But how important is, you know, communicating with the parental set?
I think transparency is the biggest key. I had a training session last night, and just I ended it early. The kids continued training with our coaches, and I went and talked to the parents, and they were concerned about how is this going to affect our kids' development when you're obviously running Houston Rangers. And I said, listen, nothing's going to change. My schedule is going to get busier, but I'm going to still have that attention and to detail and focus on every single player that we have. In our player evaluations, I'm not just copying and pasting, because every kid is different. So it's that personal feel. But I think, it's these clubs have done a great job in marketing what they do. And I think we also have to educate the parents as saying, If you're, and that's what I tell parents, if you're happy where you're at, please stay there. If they're doing a good job coaching and developing your kids, like, I want you to be there. You know, there's some great programs in the Houston area, girls and boys programs and clubs that are doing a great job with their players, their player pool. And so if they're happy there, we want them to stay there. I'm never going to say you need to come to us, because we're going to be around. We know what we're doing. We're confident in our abilities to develop. And, you know, we're going to be supportive of the other groups in the Houston market.
Yeah, I like that attitude. Do you think there can be more camaraderie from that respect, or maybe where does that lie right now? Because we always listen to the divisive nature, and listen, this has affected the Houston Dynamo as well over the past years. But we always, you know, when it gets over the top, ultra competitive, and things get a little bit unsavory, I mean, can that be improved? Where do you see the overall health of, you know, maybe all the oars pulling in the same direction for the Houston youth soccer community?
You know, I've had long discussions with a lot of soccer people here in Houston. And I think for me that, I mean, how many different leagues do we have in Houston? You've got MLS Next, you've got ECNL, you have ECRL, you have now is USCRL, you have a USC league. In my opinion, if Houston could come together and say, we're going to create one league with different divisions, and you win your division and you move up, you know, I feel like that's how we're going to develop players faster. It's difficult, right? Because everybody wants to keep their kids separate from different clubs. You know, it's sadly, I feel like we haven't done a good job. It's become a, not a tit for tat, but like we focus more on like the relationships that we have with different, you know, adults in different clubs, whereas we're here to develop kids, right? We're here to grow the passion and you know, they are the product that we want to put out there, right? And so how we develop those kids, we want to give them those opportunities. And I think we've gone away from player development, and we've gone into, you know, the money side of things, which is obviously the ugliest part of it. And if parents are investing in their kids, there's a lot of money that goes into investing in player or in youth development, right? So what's our end goal? Do we want these kids to go to Division III and get a no soccer scholarship, and you could have done that getting good grades? Or do we want to try and get them a soccer scholarship so now the return on their investment was worth it, right? That's the hardest part is, you know, we got to put the kid back on the top, and we got to make sure that that's our main focus.
What about simply lighting the fire of passion underneath youth soccer? But look, you've had a lot of teammates that you grew up playing youth soccer with that are now coaching, that played in college, mm-hmm. that have passed on the love of the game. What about simply just the love of the game and somebody growing up one day to be a parent that loves the sport and contributes to it? Or goes and buys a ticket for a Houston Dynamo game.
Yeah, no, that's the biggest thing, right? So we have our club night in a couple of weeks at the Dynamo game. And we were trying to figure out what an end of season, you know, party or whatever. And I was like, let's go to Dynamo, right? Let's go support our professional club. They're doing really well right now, you know, have a good run of results at home. But the greatest part, Glenn, honestly, is seeing the guys that I grew up with now running clubs in Houston, starting little clubs because they want to develop kids. That's the best part about it is, you know, those relationships that I have now or had with guys who I grew up with either in high school or club that are still impacting the game in Houston.
Josh Gardner, he will be heading up Houston Rangers. They were selected for MLS Next. They will field teams from under 19 to under 13 based out in the Katy area. This is exciting news for Houston. There was another Texas team added, the Dallas Hornets, as Josh mentioned as well. There are 133 MLS Next programs or clubs in the United States. As we continue on here, you know, you are a father of children, so you have a unique perspective on this. You have a lot of kids. Talk a little bit about your family.
Yeah, so my wife and I, we have five kids, and we had we had a kid in different states. Each kid was born in a different state, which is kind of funny, only because I was a journeyman in MLS in LA and Seattle, Columbus, Montreal, North Carolina, and then in sporting. And we had two kids in Kansas City. One was born in Missouri. The other one was born in Kansas, which is kind of funny. But yeah, it's, you know, whenever you have children, I think your mindset changes whenever you coach. I think somebody who doesn't necessarily has kids yet might not fit in the younger generations of youth development because they can't relate to that age of player. Our oldest is 13, our youngest is 2. And like you said earlier, Glenn, I've worked with a lot of different ages growing up. I started coaching a young team in LA when I was playing with Galaxy because I had a lot of free time, right? But I also loved being around the kids and working with them. So I think your perspective changes whenever you have children. I'm not saying some people can't relate to it. I just know that my heart goes to every kid that I work with. And, you know, I not only want to help them develop as a soccer player, but with the mental side of the game, with the outside parts of it, how can we create good citizens and, you know, people who are going to grow the game, but also be very good at what they do when they're done playing. Cause not everybody's going to play until they're, I mean, Zlatan's what, 40? Is he still playing? I think, I mean, I'm 40. I would love to keep playing. I just can't do it. So, it's one of those things.
All right, Josh Gardner, it's MLS Next, Houston Rangers just selected. Exciting news for the Katy area, the Houston soccer community as well. Josh, just a little bit, you know, I fully understand your commitment to player development, how serious you take that. You know, there's lots of fancy words in the world of soccer now. We're throwing data out. We're throwing expected goals. Coaches are cherry-picking things to defend their positions. It's different. It's different for sure, but game model's another one everybody loves to bring out. So it's interesting how rhetoric and certain words are collected by people, but game model, your core principles, what would they be?
So my game model, obviously I want let's go back to the player. I want every player to be confident on the ball and to be able to make the right decisions when it's necessary. I think everybody talks about, you know, playing out of the back and, you know, playing through the thirds. Well, is that the right decision whenever a team is playing in a mid block and they've got 11 players or 10 players between, you know, the halfway line and they're 18 or whatever, and we're just passing sideways not to go forward. So, you know, I'm a possession based player. I was instilled in that in a long time ago, but I also recognize that if we're not progressing towards goal, the result in possession should be to get a shot on goal or score, right? If it's just to keep the ball, then what's the point in it, right? So that's really, I want every single player to be very confident on the ball, to be able to see the game the way we see it. If we got to break lines or break thirds to bypass, you know, a high line, we're going to do that. You know, I don't think we develop enough forwards in our country. We have some very good ones at the national team, but if you look at it, in my opinion, we create very good defenders, right? Goalkeepers, especially. And maybe that's because we're trying to play out of the back and we lose it and now guys are shooting, but how are we going to create those forwards who can, you know, beat a guy on a dribble and, you know, use our speed to break a line? Are we playing those passes? So we also want to be very direct. Our first option, if we can win the ball, can we play forward? And if not, then we have to look to move the ball so we can, you know, I guess, manipulate the defensive team and play through them when they open up.
Josh, listen, thank you very much for coming on. We appreciate this. We're going to keep track of Houston Rangers, the newest entry into MLS Next. So I assume you'll ultimately be playing other MLS teams, going on the road and things like that. Does Major League Soccer subsidize travel? I mean, cause you know, you may have to play in Chicago, right?
Yeah. So our Frontier Conference mainly stays in Texas. I think we have maybe a trip to the Colorado Rapids, to Sporting Kansas City, but Glenn, when you go to these events that MLS put on, I mean, you're seeing national team scouts, you're seeing national team coaches, you're seeing top Division I programs, you're seeing scouts for MLS clubs, you're seeing MLS teams. So you're like, the environment is completely different. I was just spending time doing match evaluating at the GA Cup with the U15s and 17s, getting my talent scout license through US Soccer. And we're watching games and I'm sitting next to, you know, a couple of national team coaches and scouts watching their players perform. And we're also trying to identify players that should be on their radar. So it's just a different mindset, man. It's really neat to see. And, you know, a kid in our market should be able to, who's good enough, should be able to have the opportunity to be, you know, I don't want to say put on a pedestal, but put in front of these guys. So, you know, they can have an opportunity to maybe they fit Portland Timbers playing model, right? Maybe they fit their, you know, maybe they fit Houston Dynamo. Like, we want to be in good relationships with all these clubs, especially Houston Dynamo, because they're in our backyard and they're our home team. Let's push kids there. Let's give them an opportunity to sign contracts, which is what they want, or go on to play at very good schools.
Okay. We don't have enough time to go into the next phase of what you just said. We'll save that for a next interview. Josh, thank you very much. Congratulations. Best of luck. And there's nothing better than a guy that grew up playing on the fields in Houston coming back to aid and be a part of the growth of the Houston soccer community. Thank you very much for your time.
Thanks, Glenn. I appreciate you.
All right, that does it tonight for Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5, presented by the Daspit Law Firm, daspitlaw.com, 713-CALL-NOW. Big thank you to producer Andrew Carlson, Guillermo Lazo Romero, huge, huge part of this broadcast getting on the air. So those two guys are superstars in my eyes. You can get the podcast of this show at ESPN975.com. You can also get it at Spotify, Apple, and Google Play. Remember, LamontBrands.com for your Soccer Matters t-shirts and hats. All the proceeds to the 501c charity, the Snowdrop Foundation, to fight pediatric cancer. Until next Tuesday night, I'm Glenn Davis. Remember, Soccer Matters.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.